All this week, celebrating 100 author interviews on RadioGorgeous.com.
Hello and welcome to Radio Gorgeous. I'm Donna Freed.
And I'm Josephine Pembroke. Hello.
Hello, Josephine. How are you today?
Very well.
Good, because I'm feeling bitchy.
Okay, it makes a change. Okay, so who have we got it out for today?
Well, usually we reserve our bitchiness for each other because, you know, I can take a joke.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't take a joke.
That's why I said I could.
I really can't be laughed at, Donna.
Oh, sure you can.
No, I can't.
Just not in front of you.
In private.
No, but getting my goat this week was Mylene Klass.
What's she done this time? Because I know she did that thing about £2 million would only buy a garage, which annoyed everybody. And now I just saw on a website just now and it said she was joking. Yeah, it's funny. They must have had to put that bit in.
Yeah, her and her comedy jokes.
Yeah.
Not so funny. Mm. Well, and this week, there was, I don't know if you heard in the news, there was that
I've been away, so I don't know. I've been out of the country.
You have to fill me in. And disinterested.
You have to fill me in.
All right, well, first there was a thing. Somebody sent, some kid didn't show up to a birthday party and got an invoice in their, you know, in their lunchbox.
Yes.
There was a big hoo-ha over that. Mm-hmm. Well, into Mylene's, you know, daughter's class email around, one of the moms.
Round Robin, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it was so-and-so's birthday, and there was an email about, oh, she really wants a Kindle, if everyone could put in 10 pounds, but you don't have to, or
sounds
whatever.
Really reasonable, yeah.
You know, and another one wanted a desk, and, you know, so. And Mylene Klass posted it on Twitter. Okay, can you see my lips curling? You can hear them. Saying, oh, this is bonkers and the madness. You know, for 10 pounds, you know, Kindle for a small child, blah, blah, blah. And then put this joke posting like, oh, my daughter, Ava wants a real live unicorn for her birthday this year.
I don't see what's wrong with asking for a Kindle. I mean, it's a really good thing because it gets a child to read. I mean, and also it's much better than buying 10 crappy presents that you don't really want. I think it's a really good idea. So what was her problem with it?
That this is all too much, you know, end the madness of these crazy birthday gifts.
I do spend £10 now.
Yeah, I think £10 is normal. I mean, okay, so I'm about to do exactly what I'm getting mad at Mylene Klass for doing, but I'm going to do it better.
Okay, what's your
That's how bitchy I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, yes, these are middle class problems. Yes, okay? But the thing is, lady, you don't live the same way I live.
Okay.
And I was in attendance at the Hamleys' 250th anniversary party. And the amount of bags of presents she was given, she was so weighed down, she couldn't even carry them herself out of that store.
What, that she was taking for her child?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That she was given by Hamleys.
Okay.
And needless to say, I could carry the bags that I was taking out of the store because I was paying for the gifts that I was taking. However, I don't think those presents all went to charity. Little Miss Ava had two massive bags of Hamleys presents. And
all
I think it's a little little disingenuous of Miss Klass to be pointing fingers at other people and saying, I'm not going to give you 10 pounds when your net worth is 7.5. Okay? Okay.
Have you looked up her net worth?
Yes, 7.5. Mail. Okay? Okay. All right. My spleen is vent. The point is, you don't live like other people. Don't mess with our lives.
Yeah, and I do think don't mess with your lives. And I also think, but I do say one thing for very wealthy people, why should they give more? I think if she gave £10, that'd be absolutely fine.
Exactly.
But I think it's a bit annoying when people think because you've got the money, you should be giving more. Or another thing, because you've got the money, you don't need thank you letters. Because you've got the money, you know, they can afford it anyway. You know, people are quite, like, it's still if people are generous, it doesn't matter how much money they have, it's still generosity, isn't it?
And perhaps there's something to be said here about glass houses. Just because you have a platform to say something doesn't mean you should. Oh.
So do you feel better?
I do. I did like her head teacher's response. Like, you know, can I just focus on education as opposed to parking problems and unicorns?
Also, I think it's disgusting for her to tweet it to everybody. Yeah. Mm. Why the hell should, you know?
It was reported. It was said at the school gates. Why'd you do it, Mylene?
She really is the Gwyneth Paltrow of England, isn't she?
She is.
I'm pleased we've got people like that in our lives, aren't
people you? That we love to hate.
Exactly. It's such fun. RadioGorgeous.com. Now, we've got someone that we really like coming on the show today.
Yay! We like most people.
She's Jane Wenham Jones. This week, we are celebrating. We've had 100 authors on Radio Gorgeous.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
So many good books read.
So every day this week, we're having amazing authors on, starting off with Jane, and because she's written a book, Wannabe, spelt Wannabe, a writer.
Fantastic. I love her already.
I am giving you a long book.
Jane Wenham Jones, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, how lovely to be here.
So we're going to talk about your earlier book, Wanna Be a Writer.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, how do we be a writer?
Well, very simply, you write, you know, because I know that sounds, you know, I'm not meaning to sort of be clever about that. But, you know, so many people say, oh, I want to write a book, but I don't know where to start. And, you know, I haven't got time and, oh, it's too difficult. But actually, you just have to take the plunge and begin. You know, whether you're happy with a hardback notebook or a blank computer screen, you just start. And you don't get put off if it looks like rubbish, if it doesn't make any sense, if you feel self-conscious, if it reads like drivel, because it's supposed to. It's a first draft and you can edit it later. You can rewrite it later. So I always say, you know, if you've got even if you've got a page of complete, you know, rubbish, you can edit a page of rubbish and make it into something readable, whereas you can do nothing with a blank screen.
True. Okay, so it's supposed to, the first point is get there, write rubbish. It's supposed to be garbage. It's supposed to be execrable.
It's a first draft.
Fantastic. It's a first draft. So if it's crappy, you should take pleasure in that.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
There's something on that page.
Yes, and there might be one little nugget, you know, one lovely sentence. Some writers, I don't do this because I'm very sort of mean about my time, and these days I don't want to waste any of it, but some writers really recommend doing this sort of any old writing to warm up when mm-hmm. they start. So they might just talk to themselves on the screen, you know?
Right.
And I do that if I get a bit stuck. You know, like you get to a point in the book where you think, oh God, what's going to happen next? I've gone round a circle and I don't know. And sometimes just to write, talk to yourself, kickstarts it again. So I might say, oh God, I hate writing this book. I don't know what I'm doing. Something's going to have to happen soon. What shall I do? Perhaps I need a few more scenes of her in the office. And then I'll think, oh, I know what I could do.
Wow.
And it comes. So, you know, if anybody listening like really longs to write a book, but they haven't quite got the plot or they haven't quite got the idea, just start writing. Talk to yourself. Say, I really, really want this to be the year that I start my novel. I still can't really work out what it's going to be about. But, you know, hey, I've been around the block a few times. I'm sure I've got a few anecdotes I can build on and start, you know, right. And something will come.
That's wonderful, because I think that is really, it's getting to that point and then being faced with this, okay, and it's supposed to be brilliant.
Mm, absolutely. But I mean, you ask any successful author, you know, even ones who have had 30, 40, 50 books published, they've hit the bestseller lists, they'll all tell you, you know, both two things. One, they feel daunted when they start the next one. Because there's something in you that it's almost like having a baby. You know, you can't quite remember what it was like. You know, it hurt. But you can't.
It was painful. I was very tired.
I cried a lot. But you don't necessarily, you can't really remember the whole process of it. So whenever I start another book, I'm, you know, that you still feel that fear. You're daunted. You think, oh my God, I've got to produce 90,000 words from somewhere. And you feel particularly horrible when you've only written, say, 30,000, because you seem to have been writing forever and ever and ever, and you're still only a third of the way through the damn thing. All authors will tell you that. They'll all tell you that they feel daunted, that there's a little bit of them that's afraid then they're not going to be able to do it anymore. And they'll all tell you that if they look back at first drafts, you know, they're a mess.
Yes, that's very heartening, because I myself have been trying to. Instead of taking what I thought was going to be a good idea, I said, "Well, it's much more freeing to take a crappy idea and just go with it, because I don't have to care. I don't have to sit there and torture myself and self-flagellate, mm-hmm. And give myself every excuse not to do it, because I've been doing that for about 30 years.
Yeah.
So my object in this, and maybe you can give me, you've already given me some practical advice, is to just keep plugging away. Because I do get stuck. I'm like, what am I? Yeah, I'm at a point actually where I'm like, well, something's got to happen next. So just fiddle around.
What I do is I leave myself like big notes in capitals if I get stuck. You know, something else needs to happen here. I'm not sure what. Perhaps this is the chapter where her mother comes to stay or not, I'm not sure. And then jump on to a bit you do know. So mm-hmm. if you know there's going to be a dramatic car crash, start writing
write that.
Write that. You can,
why wait?
Slot it in later. Why wait? And the other thing you should do if you've really been procrastinating for 30 years.
Yes, please.
is make an absolute pact with yourself to write something every day.
Yeah.
Because the longer you leave it and you don't open that computer file, it's too easy to just say, oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. So make yourself do it every day, even if you only do it for 10 minutes. Everybody can find 10
yes.
minutes. So,
yes.
Even if you say, right, every night, as soon as I've had dinner, I am going to write for 15 minutes before I watch television. Because even those little, even if you write a paragraph,
it's a bit one more paragraph than
and,
you have.
Yeah. You won't. Just write a paragraph because you'll enjoy yourself and you'll end up writing for an hour.
Do you feel it's like a muscle that the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets?
Absolutely, yeah.
We have reached 100 authors of the week. Hooray!
Does the act of doing it, sort of the act of writing and the act of thinking of the next thing and the next thing, does that also sort of further itself?
I think so. And I think the more ideas you get. Mm-hmm. When I first started writing, I used to write short stories for women's magazines. And when I'd written 5 short stories, I felt like I'd used up every idea I was ever going to have in my life. And I tell the story.
Tapped.
Yeah, I tell the story in Wanna Be a Writer, how I overcame that. Right. And it was basically, in a nutshell, by using something that had really happened to me. And now, everything
that happens to anyone you've ever heard of,
everything that happens to my friends, everything that happens to me, everything I read about, everything I see, is a possible... Mm-hmm. So it's not that I have a marvellous imagination. I just utilise everything,
mm-hmm.
And so if I do something, I'm sitting here being interviewed by you on a lovely red sofa, I might think, oh, actually, that would be quite a nice scene in a novel. I've never written about a radio interview. That's what I'll do, mm-hmm. I'll have her interviewed because she's, campaigning about something, those sorts of things.
That's great, because in the same way that not writing and getting into the habit of not writing is a self-fulfilling prophecy, the writing and getting into the habit of writing and thinking about it is also a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is.
In the other direction.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. And as I say, if you delay, and I'm the worst at this, my current novel is very, very late.
What are some of your best delaying tactics? What do you do?
Airing cupboard, tidying. I just suddenly have a compulsion. All those towels have to be refolded, color-coded.
And they have to be refolded now.
Now, yes, tidying.
All right, well, so that's the solitary part of writing.
Yeah.
And, you do have to spend some time on your own doing that. And if you're not a social person, that's, that's great. But then say you get a book deal and then you have to publicize it.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of writers, that's like the horrible part.
I know. You see, I'm the opposite of that. Yeah. Because for me, the horrible part is having to chain myself to the chair and make myself, you know, get on. Because exactly. I do feel daunted at the beginning.
Yeah, so I'm all right once I've got a head of steam. Yeah, but Wanna Be a Writer is for you. But the next book, which is brilliantly titled, Want to Be a Writer, we've heard of.
Yeah, because there is a difference. Now, I'm lucky in that I've sort of reinvented myself as somebody who can go and speak to 1,000 people without, you know, quivering. So my second book, Want to Be a Writer, we've heard of, is all about all the things that I've done to publicise books and hot tips on things like giving the radio interview, going on television, what makeup to wear, getting a good photograph taken, coming up with an elevator pitch for your book, how to write a press release. You know, because author writes book is not a great story.
This is not news.
That's not news. But, you know, an author who trekked through the jungle and then wrote a memoir about it. That's interesting.
And because even if you have a book deal, I mean, one, they're self-publishing, but also even if you're in the mill of the PR machine that the publishing companies have, you know, you have to differentiate yourself out from that pack as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, even big publishing, small publishing houses just don't have the staff or the money or the budget to do loads and loads of marketing and publicity for you. They do their best, but it's just not possible. Even big publishing houses, you know, you might be assigned a PR girl, and she might be working on your book for you for a couple of weeks before it comes out. Sorry, a couple of weeks after it comes out. Maybe 4 months she'll start trying to find things before it comes out. But, you know, they've got to move on to the next book. Mm-hmm. So anything you can do yourself obviously helps.
Yes.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
All right, what are your top tips?
My top tips for?
Yeah, for promoting.
Okay, well, first of all, identify what your story is. Mm-hmm. You know, your story isn't that you've written a book. What is the story behind the book? This is not the time to let the facts get in the way of a good story. So, you know, if you can...
A little embellishment here and there.
A little embellishment here and there doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, don't be silly, because if you get onto the show and they say, well, tell me about lap dancing and you've never even seen it, let alone done it, you're going to come unstuck. But, you know, you can... I sort of see it like a piece of elastic. You can sort of, you know, make a little talent go a long way if you... Mm-hmm. Be brave... You know, try all sorts of different things, because it's really odd. I still don't really understand why some things work and some don't. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have a fabulous review, you know, in a daily newspaper, and you see your spike on Amazon, a little spike. And then you go on somebody's blog that you didn't realise anybody'd ever heard of. And suddenly your sales shoot up.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to have an independent local bookshop owner, go and make friends with him or her, give talks. You know, I've got lots and lots of ideas in the book, and just try it and be brave, be adventurous.
But it's sort of like when you're stuck for writing, you know, well, you got to try, you know, fiddle around, try a bunch of things to get you going.
Absolutely. I mean, these days people do an awful lot of it online. You know, I mean, my book is a lot of practical, physical things that you can do as well as a person, not just sitting on Twitter and on Facebook. Because I do think online marketing, you have to tread a fine line. Because if you're tweeting all the time, buy my book, look at my book, I've signed this book, here it is, here's the cover, you know, here's chapter 3. People just think, oh, for God's sake, you know, shut
enough
up
of you
about
already.
Your bleeding book. You know?
We know, you wrote a book.
So, you know, you have to be a little bit subtle, I think. Otherwise, you just become a pain and everybody gets bored with you. Mm-hmm. And remember that it's the most powerful, powerful thing that sells books. You know, you can have a £1 million marketing budget, but this is the powerful thing that sells books, and that's word of mouth. So, you know, even if you go to a library and you give a talk to 12 people, if those 12 people all go home and say, hey, she was funny, she was great, I bought her book, I'm loving it.
Great.
If they decide to buy it for somebody else for Christmas, you know, if they recommend it, if they then decide to go and look at your other books, that is how it builds up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've met authors who have cancelled events because only 20 people were going to come. And you think, that is an audience. 20 people mm-hmm. is an audience. I've given talks to 2 people, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes, in the same way, as you say, in the same way as writing every day, even if you write a paragraph. Well, if you talk to this small group of people, they grow.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, readers are readers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jane, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much, Jane. All our wannabe writers who are drinking wine and eating chocolate. We love it. Thank you so much, Josephine. Thank you so much, Ella. This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2015.